Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Rumor is that spring is actually going to show up today.
Yes.
It might actually get above freezing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Open your Bibles, please, to 3 John. 3 John, or Little John, depends on who likes to call it that. Verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. And I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you that you can lead us and guide us into this truth. It's not just acquiring truth, but as this verse says, we should be walking in this truth. And as we learn, and as we have our mind renewed, and as our soul prospers, we'll be equipped to walk in this truth. And we'll bring you a greater joy than we can even understand, because you rejoice every time we step out and walk in that truth. So we just thank you for this morning, for this opportunity again to be equipped with the truth, for you to help us renew our minds, to help us with the salvation of our soul. We honor you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed said, amen. You know, we've been talking recently about a change of heart and walking in the fear of the Lord. And specifically last week, we talked about opening up your heart and being honest with God about what's going on. And sometimes we think that we have to put on this faith facade, if I want to call it that. Like everything's just fine. How are you doing? Just great. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, we can get real religious about it. And, you know, sometimes we just need to be open and honest before God. But when it comes to the truth, we're supposed to speak that truth in love. And I believe to God is the first place to do that. And then to yourself. You know, there's three different relationships that we have going. Vertical, inward, and horizontal. And a lot of times, most of us only think about how we are perceived or how we act on this horizontal level. We don't even realize what's going on in the inside of us sometimes. We don't even stop and think about our own thought life, our own soul. And this is talking about a prosperous soul. You can't really walk in the truth to the level that God wants us to without a soul prospering. And so, as this says, 3 John 2, I'm going to read the New American Standard this time. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health just as your soul prospers. For I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth. That is, how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear my children walking in the truth. What's John expressing here? He's expressing this great desire and this priority to Gaius, who's the person he's really writing this letter to, if you read verse 1, this brother in the Lord. And he's saying, I wish above all things, I pray that in all respects, one says, my heartfelt prayer for you. Message actually says, we're the best of friends, and I'm praying that you get this. What? That thou mayest prosper and be in health. That in all respects you may prosper and be in good health. That you may prosper in every way, and that your body may keep well. All depending on what? Your soul prospering. You know, we have a lot of people in the body of Christ who have heard messages about healing, about prosperity, about a sound mind or a sound marriage or whatever you want to call it. Would it go any subject at all that the Bible talks about, there's truth on there. I mean, nowadays, I mean, you can go just turn on the TV or the radio or go to the computer and open up YouTube and watch all kinds of things. I mean, we can get overloaded, quite honestly. You know, I remember the days back in the 70s when someone would show up, you know, a faith preacher or something, and everybody in the world just about would show up. Yeah, you'd have to show up an hour early just to get a seat. I mean, nowadays it's like, oh, you know, I can always watch it on TV later. Hello. There's a different attitude today. There's not the same hunger that there was. I'm preaching better than you're responding. There's just not the same hunger. You know what it is? Our soul has been satisfied with a lot of other stuff. Our soul has been, well, it's satisfied without God. We've allowed other things to fill that void instead of God. And he's saying, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. You know, the Amplified says, even as I know your soul keeps well and prospers. You know, when we talk about the plan of redemption that we've mentioned before, God desires for our soul to prosper in every realm of life. And that's more than just healing and more than just prosperity or financial. It's in every area. He wants us to prosper. It says, I want you to prosper in every respect, in all respects. Prosper spiritually, mentally, physically, socially, financially, however you want to put it. God wants us to be able to walk in the truth in every area. And if we're not walking in the fullness of what God has promised, guess what? I think it's limited because it's been based on the condition of our soul. So how do we increase the capacity of our soul to believe? Because that's what it is. Our soul, well, let's back up for a second. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let me just do some basic housekeeping here, if I may. Recently, I've realized that sometimes we take a lot of things just for granted. You know, we've been in certain circles and certain messages for so long that we just assume everybody hears these things and knows these things and been around these things. And then every now and then you sit down with somebody that you assume knows these things and you hear them saying things like, what? You know better than that, don't you? And then you realize, boy, they haven't heard this. I better just mention this real basic ABC stuff. How many of you realize that you're a three-part being? Spirit and soul and body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Not H-O-L-Y. What's that word? Holy. The whole person. W-H-O-L-L-Y. He's talking about your whole person. God is concerned about our whole being. This will make more sense in a minute. He says, and I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is speaking to the Trinity of man, and from a biblical definition, it says we are a three-part being. We are a spirit. Everyone say, I am a spirit. You have a soul. And you live in a body. But the real you is a spirit. The soul is described throughout Scripture as either the mind, the will, your intellect, your emotions. Any of those things can be defined as the soul. Because you say, I am a spirit. I am not a mind. Hello? I'm not a soul. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I have a mind. I have a will. I have an intellect, hopefully. I have some emotions. Ah! Huh? Some of you have some emotions, too, once in a while. Rare occasions where you actually get emotional up here. We have these things. We aren't those. I'm not an emotion. All right? I'm not happy. Bad. It's not who I am. It's what I do. It's how I react. You're looking at me like already with an emotion. Like, he's crazy. What's wrong with this guy? This speaks to that trinity of man. We are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. Now, where the confusion comes in, and I've run into this recently with some other ministers that I rub shoulders with, and I realize that they are still thinking old-fashioned in my mind. And the problem is because the Scripture talks about the inward man or the outward man, the heart. And these things can get confusing. Hebrews 4:12 talks about the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing either to dividing asunder of what? Soul and spirit. They are separate things. Now, God looks at them, and when he talks about the heart, in most cases, he's talking about the combination of the two together. Cardia is the word where we get cardiology from. Cardia is the Greek word for heart. And in most cases, it's referring to a combination of the two. But there are times when he's referring to that the heart is primarily the spirit man, which is involving the soul. Jesus mentioned this in Luke chapter 10. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Jesus, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Makes the distinction here. With all thy strength, that's your body, and with all thy mind. Now, why did he throw that in there? Because, see, he realized that I may be a spirit and I have a soul and I live in a body, but my mind has to make a decision about those three things. Doesn't make it as a fourth part. It's with my mind, it's my chooser. That's the part I have in control of. Do you understand that? Your will, your mind, your emotions are under your control. That would be a good place to say amen. You know, every now and then a preacher doesn't mind someone talking back to him, unless you interrupt me. Romans chapter 8 says this, if we're carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So you can be carnally just means, have you ever gone to a Mexican place and had carnitas? Yeah. What does that mean? Meat. Flesh. To be carnally minded means to be a meathead. That's all it means. Don't be a meathead. To be carnally minded means your flesh is ruling you right now. Your flesh is telling your soul how to make a decision. See, the soul is that part in the middle that makes the difference between what your flesh is telling you and what your spirit is telling you. And your spirit is in connection with the Holy Spirit, and your flesh is in connection with this sinful world. Your flesh hasn't been redeemed yet. It says the body's still waiting for redemption. Now, it's been bought and paid for, and there's a down payment, and that's the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, thank God. But guess what? When we got born again, your soul didn't get redeemed yet either. It has to be renewed. It has to be restored. It has to be saved. When my spirit man was born again, I got a brand new spirit on the inside of me. Thank God, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm a new creation on the inside, a new species of being according to 2 Corinthians 5. But my thinking didn't get changed. Did yours? No. Not immediately. That's why we have a responsibility to renew our minds. The prosperous soul gives us the ability to change our life and walk in this truth. Quick and powerful. Back to Hebrews 4:12. Piercing even to the dividing of sunder, of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow. Now that's the flesh side. So you got spirit, soul, flesh. But I love the end of it. That the Word, Jesus, the Holy Spirit working with the Word in us, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So here's the heart. Thoughts and intents. Thoughts is the soul part. Intents is what's, I believe, coming out of your spirit man. So again, they work in harmony together. When the Holy Spirit and your renewed mind, not your not renewed mind, your renewed mind work in cooperation together, I believe we're going to be able to accomplish whatever God says we can do. We believe what God says that he has equipped us to do and, in a sense, provided for us to do, but that comes from a prosperous soul, walking in the truth. And he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. But the responsibility to renew our minds is ours. God doesn't come along all of a sudden and just say, you know what, I'm just going to renew your mind and just kind of twirl around. I wish he had done that for me. I wish he could do that for all of you. I wish there was some way for when you walked in the door, I got a hold of your head and just kind of and just renewed your mind. Make my job a lot easier. But you know, my real job here is to equip you with the truth so that you can think about it differently. My job is to help you form beliefs or strengthen beliefs based upon the truth, because your beliefs always govern what you think, say, and ultimately do. And your beliefs are stored up in your heart. Your beliefs are a combination of your heart in communion with the Holy Spirit saying, that's truth, witnessing to you that that's truth, and your head going, you know what, I think that is the truth. And your body going along with it, says we're going to act on that truth. Spirit, soul, and body. The whole, he says, I want you sanctified wholly. Sanctified means set apart for God's use. Holy. The whole person. The spirit man. The inward man. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed. How? Day by day. So there's this inward man. There's this outward man. There's the spirit. There's the soul. There's the body. With our spirit, we connect with God. With obviously our body, we connect to this physical world around us. But with our soul, our mind, we have an opportunity to really connect with other people and connect with the environment around us by making decisions, by making an opportunity just to really communicate here on this level. I believe your spirit is really in connection with that vertical relationship. But with my soul, I have to express myself to you. You know, you really can't see my spirit. You really can't even see my soul. You see this physical body, and sometimes we think that's the real, oh, I recognize you. My wife walks in and says, I recognize you. But that's only one part of her. If God's looking at her, he doesn't even see this physical body. He recognizes the spirit. That's what he sees. Sometimes that's why we get all caught up with what somebody wears or how they look or what they're doing. And God doesn't see any of that. He's not even concerned about what you're wearing today. Thank God you're wearing something. Now, you know, he's not worried about how you combed your hair today, if we have any hair to comb. How plump or fluffy we are. Now, he might be concerned about how you take care of your body, because we're supposed to be good stewards of it. But, you know, ultimately, what he sees is a renewed person on the inside. He is a spirit. God is a spirit. And how does he communicate with us? Through the spirit. We have to learn how to take that spiritual information. We all go, oh, I don't know how to hear from God. Yes, you do. You hear from God all the time. He's always speaking to us. He was speaking to you before you got born again. I believe God's always speaking to humanity. Always. He calls it that still small voice. You ever had a conversation with yourself? Huh? Inside you're going back and forth and back and forth, and sometimes you're having this argument, and you know, I think that sometimes you don't even realize your spirit, your soul are going at it. I don't want to do this, but I think we should do this, but I have this impression. But my mind goes, no, yeah. None of you have ever done that? Well, I live there all the time. I get these impressions. I get this thing I should do that. No, I don't want to do that. And then my mind kicks in, talks you right out of it. God says, I want you to go do this. What do you mean? How dare you say God said? How dare you say God spoke to you? Well, I know it was God because it sure wasn't me. I wouldn't tell myself to do that. I can say when God said, I want you to write that check for $100. What? Get behind me, Satan. Huh? See, what we have to do is learn the voice of the Spirit. We have to learn how to listen. But that means renewing our mind. That means getting our soul prospering so that we can walk in this truth. The reason a lot of Christians have really not been walking in the truth is because we have failed to really prosper our soul in a way that it's going to benefit us and hear from God. With our spirit being spiritually minded, we connect with God. To be physically active, to be carnally minded, if you want to put that, we're going to connect with this world and kind of connect with the things going on in this world. But what does he say there in 3 John? Beloved, I wish, I pray, I desire, above all other things, more than anything else, when you put some of the translations together, that you might prosper and be in health to the degree that your soul prospers. Why aren't some people prospering financially? Why aren't some people prospering physically? Why aren't some people grabbing hold of the healing miracle that's already theirs? Because there's something that's disconnecting in their thinking. There's something that has not lined up in their believing yet. that says, this is already established, this is already done, this is already mine. You know, we have that personal responsibility for the condition of our soul. 1 Corinthians 6:20, turn over there for a second, please. I want you to see this verse. 1 Corinthians 6:20. For you are bought with a price. Boy, we could stop there and preach for an hour. You are bought with a price. Jesus bought and paid for you already. You are not your own anymore. That alone, if you can get a hold of that, would change your life right there. Because you are really not your own anymore. Jesus died and paid the price ultimately on the cross for you and me, and we are His. He redeemed us. That's what redemption's all about. He bought us for a price, and that price was His blood. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I want you to look at that verse very closely. There's no mention of your soul. What are the two things that are mentioned? Your spirit, your inward man and your outward man, as if you want to break it down that way, true. But the soul itself specifically is not mentioned. Now, I'm not going to give you a bunch of verses because I got a half a dozen I can show you that back this up. But let me just give you a couple. Romans chapter 8, verse 10 says this. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Again, it makes the distinction. God's looking at the body and the spirit because He's dealing directly with those because He's bought and paid for you. And He said, those are God's. He has given you, in a sense, the supremacy over your own will. Your soul is your own. I'm going to try to get this across to you. Your soul will only prosper to the degree that you choose for it to prosper. Oh, I'm waiting for God. He's waiting on you. He's waiting on me. My soul will only prosper to the degree that I make a decision that I will get into the truth, that I will renew my mind, that I will save my soul. That's my choice. See, there's a lot of people they go from message to message, from weekend to weekend, and that's all they ever do to get into the truth. You know, every now and then we try to encourage you to come to Wednesday night service, come at 9 o'clock to the equip class. The purpose of the equip class is to do what? Equip you. Hello. Boy, that's really deep. It's a half an hour pre-service. So, I mean, we got to go to two services in one day called the School of the Spirit. When you were in school, didn't you go to more than one class a day? Huh? I always get a kick out. That's just way too long. Oh, you'll sit through a three-hour movie and not even think about it. Don't tell me that. I don't buy this time stuff. We value certain things. We will value what we give our time to. What's a half an hour more? Come at 9 o'clock. I just tell people all the time, church starts at 8:55. Really? Yes, it does. Be here at 9 o'clock for the equip class for that extra half an hour. Then sit through pre-service prayer. You'd be amazed how much different you come in prepared to hear rather than just coming in right at the last minute. Now, I understand that people have other things, but I'm encouraging you, that's my job, to encourage you to be equipped to come, be prepared spiritually, mentally, and physically, the whole person, to receive and hear what God has for you today. That's the purpose here. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. I love what Malachi chapter 2 says. Now, this is in the context of marriage, and we just had this wedding yesterday, and we have to understand that when people come together in a marriage, they're becoming one. There's something about that marriage covenant. God sees them as one spirit and one flesh, but you know, the husband and wife have to work at becoming of one heart or soul. That's another whole sermon here. But this fits in what I'm trying to get you to understand. My wife and I, when we got married, we may have been, as far as in Christ's eyes, become one in His eyes as a covenant. The Bible says very clearly in many scriptures, He no longer sees them as separate individuals. He sees them as one. And He says, when you join together as in a marriage relationship, you become one flesh. And this is the great mystery of Ephesians 5, of Christ and the church. One unit, one entity. But the soul is still separate. If you don't believe that, you've never had a disagreement with your spouse. Hello? You have different desires sometimes, or different want to. Well, I want pizza. I want tacos. Taco pizza. That's called compromise, right? Malachi says this, didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? In body and spirit, you are His. Listen to what he says here. And what does he want? Godly children from your union. So guard your heart. Remain faithful and loyal to the wife of your youth. There's some other scriptures in there too, in Malachi. But it's interesting because he says, in body and spirit, you are His. And what does he want? Godly children from your union. So guard your heart. Out of this love relationship, this covenant relationship that God has joined together, let no man put asunder, he said, you are going to have to bring something to it. It's called your will, your choice, your decision-making ability. I choose to walk in love with my wife. I choose to avoid strife with my wife. I choose. Who chooses? I do. That's my choice. That's my will, my mind, my intellect, my emotions. I choose if I'm going to get angry at her, or I'm going to get upset with her, or I'm going to get frustrated with her. Whose choice is that? You can't say, well, she made me angry. No, she didn't. What she did didn't agree with what my expectation was, and so I got angry as a result. I'm the one that got angry. I chose to get angry. Nobody else can make you angry. Pastor, you're just making me angry doing this. But I love what this says here. Guard your heart. You know, my wife has preached many times out of Proverbs about guard your heart. Keep it with all diligence. Why? Because out of it flow the issues of life. If we don't guard our heart, if we don't renew our minds, we're going to get in trouble. All this boils down to this very simple principle of the prosperous soul. Whose heart, spirit and soul together, are we going to... Let me put it this way. Let me reword this. For my heart to become established in the truth of God's word, for my heart to really become solidly unshakable, as we were singing earlier, in the things of God, my soul has to prosper. My spirit man may already have the truth in it, but my soul has to get in agreement with it. Again, I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. Let me give you this simple illustration I've used many times. It's like a car. You get in a car, no matter what kind of car it is, you can have a big fancy car, you can have a little one of those little micro cars, big car, little car, doesn't matter. There's basically three things that make a car work. It has to have an engine, it has to have a transmission, and it has to have someone to put it into gear. Isn't that true? You're the one that puts it into gear. In a sense, that's the body of the car. That's the flesh of the car. You are going to choose to put that transmission into gear. You're engaging the transmission. The power source is the engine. That's your spirit. The transmission is your soul. The rest of the body is just the flesh. I could sit there with my car, and I've always joked about my old 57 Chevy. I fixed it all up. I mean, I got it out of the barn, right out of the farmyard from this. When I got back from my first job up north and came back with all the money I saved up, I went hunting for a car when I was 16 years old, and I found an old 57 Chevy all beat up and sitting out in the farmyard. Bought it, He wanted $125, and I talked him down to $112.50. Got a good deal. But it was a Fred Flintstone car. It was the kind when you lift the carpet up, you could see through the floor. And it was one of the, remember the old 57s? They had that kind of creamy, peachy, pukey color. That didn't last very long in my house. I took that thing in my garage and we stripped that baby down. I had to put a new engine in it. And we put, everybody know what Bondo is? I had a James Bondo car. Fake fiberglass everywhere. Oh my. I learned how to work with Bondo in the fall of 1967. And then we painted it metallic royal blue. Boy, did it sparkle. And I could sit there at the stop sign and go, brum, 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 brum. Problem is, I never changed the transmission. I'd drop that thing into gear and we'd just go, put, 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 put. That's the way a lot of Christians are. They got the power of the Holy Ghost on the inside of them, but their soul is put, 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 put. Man, we look good on the outside. We're glory to God. Hallelujah. Put, 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 put. Huh? Somebody can relate to my 57 Chevy? Your spirit and your body, God paid for them completely. And he wants you to sanctify you wholly for you then to set apart that part of you which you are still in control of, which is your soul. You still have the choice to say, today I'm coming to church to renew my mind. Today I'm coming to church with the expectation that God is going to speak to me. Today I'm coming to church with the expectation that God is going to help me transition or transform my transmission. Amen. Problem with my transmission was it leaked. I'd always find transmission fluid underneath the car. So guess what I had to keep doing? Kept putting transmission fluid in the truck all the time. Wish I had never sold that car. That'd be a classic today. I don't know if it'd be still put together. I don't know if they can make that much Bondo. Our soul is something that we are responsible for. Our heart, that part of it, when we talk about the established heart of Psalm 112, my heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord, my heart is established, it's talking about the whole part of me, because the spirit man is already trusting in God. The belief that God is right and righteous and true is not difficult. But for my soul to get totally in agreement with that takes renewing of the mind. And guess what? Romans 12 talks about that renewing of the mind. But ultimately, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Isn't that what Proverbs 23:7 says? As a man thinks in his heart, as a man believes. Now again, let's go back to what Doug Jones taught us many years ago when he was here. The purpose of our beliefs is to do what? That's right. It will govern what we think, say, and do. So, every time we hear the word, every time truth is presented to us, we have to make a choice. It's going to either create and form beliefs, or it's going to strengthen the beliefs we have. Now, what is it that the world is always trying to do to you? It's trying to tell you, no, believe this instead. And if we embrace that, we will believe, well, I guess God is in control. Let me ask you something. Is God in control of all your thoughts? Well, then God isn't in control. See, I can deal with that doctrine real quick. Because the minute someone says to me, oh, God is in control, I says, no, he's not. How do you know? Because I know he's not in control of every thought I have. How do I know that? How about 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5? Casting down imaginations, taking every thought into captivity, bringing them into obedience to Christ. If they're his thoughts, why would I have to cast them down? Why would I have to bring them into obedience to Christ? Oh, God's in control. Well, then he's schizo. If he's in control and yet he's telling me to cast down what he just made me think. Hello? why does he tell me to quench every fiery dart? You know, a fiery dart is a thought. You know, fiery darts can't affect your spirit, and they can't really affect your flesh. A fiery dart is totally, in a sense, a thought that's shot at you. Think this. But doesn't Philippians 4 tell you this? Think on these things instead. Oh, how am I going to take that? It says, take no thought saying. You know how you take a thought? By saying it. The thought comes, oh man, that hurt. And then he goes, honey, that really hurt. Guess what you just signed for? The hurt. Casting down imaginations. You cast it down before it ever comes out of your mouth. Because your mouth gives, in a sense, a signature to it. Your mouth gives it flesh. Your mouth brings it into this world. Your mouth gives it authority. Don't get in agreement with those fiery darts. Cast those imaginations down. Every care, every fear, every worry. Sometimes they're just vain imaginations. Sometimes you think, well, why'd God give me this imagination? Because he wanted to give you a free will. Because you're created in his image. I mean, it took God's imagination to create us. Hello? It took God's imagination to create the world and all that's in it and the fullness of it. I am so looking forward to the day that we can sit there and see his videos. And we've been watching this series on TV about the cosmos and how everything was created. And about halfway through it, it makes me mad. And then I realized, nah, it's just the way I'm thinking about it. There's times I want to just, I mean, they just assume everybody knows that we just came out of the goo. And it was all this other stuff. And what's so sad is they've got all the special effects and all, and it's like, wow, if they just took that and put it into a biblical perspective, they'd have it. There was such a thing as a Big Bang. God said, let there be. Boom. And there was. See, man can imagine all this stuff. But then vain imagination kicks in and we start to take credit for it. It kicks in and we start to say, oh no, I can make evolution and creation fit together. I'm going to be honest with you. I really struggled all week because I really wanted to do a message about Noah. Some of you are laughing, so I think you know why I didn't do it. Maybe I'll wait till next week. You know, we got a lot of stuff from these Christian organizations because some Christian people got involved with supposedly helping them promote the movie. And I love one critic said, any Christian leader that stands up and promotes this movie ought to be crucified. And I don't want to say amen. I haven't watched the movie. I've read enough about it already. And so I'm not criticizing the movie. I'm just criticizing the critics about the movie and the promotion of the movie. Because if anything that I've read about it is even halfway true, I don't understand who the rock people are. And did you know that Cain had an axe and snuck into the bottom of the ark? If you're going to the movie, no. Did anybody here see the movie? Raise your hand if you did. I want to see, I'll talk to you after this service. Anybody see the movie? Good. Let's all boycott it. No, I'm sorry. I'll wait till it comes out on Netflix or something. I'm not paying for it. But anyways, one Christian guy that's a writer that I was following, he said, this is the best. He says, this movie should be promoted as a comedy for Christians. Because he says, I laughed my butt off during the whole movie. That's what he said. What's the problem? They took a very true biblical story and their imagination ran wild. Their imagination went crazy. They tried to reimagine the biblical story in their own image, in the way they thought it should be. Huh? Every tradition and doctrine of men. Mark chapter 7, you hear me quote this all the time. Jesus confronted those scribes and Pharisees. And he said, you teach the doctrines of men, the traditions of men, as if they were true and absolute. And they make those things of God's word of none effect. They're trying to create a different set of beliefs. And those sets of beliefs make the Word of God, the truth, of none effect. So then you go to 3 John 2 and says, man, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in a truth that is biblically based. Not just the truth that you create. Well, you know, truth is relative based on this or based... I don't think that's the truth he's talking about. When he's talking about you walking in the truth, he's talking about God's words is true. You know, Mark chapter 4 talks about the different types of soil, the different conditions of the heart. The third one talks about those that are sown among the thorns. In verse 18 and 19 of Mark chapter 4, it talks about the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of the desires of other things entering in. What does it do? It chokes the word. It makes it unfruitful. It makes it null and void. And those are three things that you and I are subjected to every single day. Every single day, you can't hardly open the newspaper, turn on the radio, turn on the news, turn on the television without doing what? Looking at your iPad, your smartphone. There's some thing that pops up automatically. I get these goofy news pop-ups. You know, there's an earthquake in California. Oh, my God. And then later on, you read about it, and they said, nobody got hurt. No damage. No big deal. Nothing here. Move on. But boy, the way that banner popped up, you'd think San Francisco fell in the ocean. Isn't that true? That's the way they spectacularize everything. Newsflash! The cares of this world comes on us every single day. Now, there are things that we should be concerned about, but I'm not going to carry the care of it, because you know, a lot of times I can't do anything about it. I can only affect the world around me. I can pray and I can do things for people that I believe, as we're going to be, you know, as we pray for missionaries, like what's going on in the Ukraine and so forth. But ultimately, I have to believe that the Word of God is true. I have to believe that I have to renew my mind to it. I have to change my heart, get in agreement with the truth, let my soul be joyful in the Lord, and rejoice in my salvation. I mean, you go through the Psalms, that's all he says. All this. If you just run a text on that, a search on the word soul, and all, and it's amazing how many times he's talking about, my soul shall rejoice in the Lord. My soul will do this. My soul will do that. But then there's other things. Oh, soul, why are you so cast down? Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Do you know, it's your decision if you're going to be depressed today. Oh, I just can't help it. Yeah, you can. Think on these things. Think on these things. Stop thinking on that. Stop thinking about that. Think on these things, not the fear. Where's your heart focused? Let me ask you, where is your belief about healing today? Where's your belief about God being good? If you want to get me going, start telling me that God's the one who made you sick. Oh, boy. Them's his fighting words. You can't establish that in the Scriptures. Well, you know, he gave Paul that dreaded eye disease. Chapter and verse, please. Oh, I get tired of that one. Hebrews chapter 10 says this. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe unto the saving of the soul. There's something about not drawing back. There's something about pressing in for the prosperous soul. There's something about pressing in there so that your soul is blessed. Psalm 62 says, truly my soul waits upon the Lord, for him, from him comes my salvation. Truly my soul will rejoice in my salvation. All this comes down to this principle of an established heart, of keeping our heart with all diligence, guarding our heart, guarding the thoughts that we have, because out of it flow the issues of life. Letting our minds and our hearts be renewed because of truth. ultimately, the psalmist had it right. What's the 23rd Psalm say? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But the next verse, in verse 3, it says what? He restoreth my soul. Well, for something to be restored means somehow or another it was depleted. To begin with, something had been affected. You know, worry and fear and circumstances can deplete the strength of your soul, so to speak. And that's why you need to go back into the things of God's Word and encourage yourself and strengthen yourself and be built up in your most holy faith when you look at the Word of God. So let's read 3 John 2 again. Let's close up. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Now, I can only invite you on this journey of a prosperous soul. I can't force you to walk down this journey with me every single week, every single month, every single year as we just continue on to eternity, because I don't think we are ever going to stop allowing our souls to prosper. I think we will ever, ever be learning but coming to the knowledge of the truth, because there's people that are ever learning but not coming to the knowledge of the truth because they're just choosing to reject it, or they're choosing to ignore it, or choosing not to be doers of it. But when I come to the knowledge of the truth, I want to be a doer of it. I want it to form a belief. I want it to strengthen my beliefs. I want it to cause me, as a person who has beliefs, to then act on those beliefs. I believe in healing. I believe in salvation. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe in those things because I can see them so clearly in the Scriptures. And yet there's people who can read the same verses you and I can read, and they think somehow or another that God made them sick. Or somehow or another, well, if God wants me to have the Holy Spirit, he'll make me talk in tongues. Now, I've joked about it, and they say, well, that's of the devil. And I lived for the devil for years, and I never talked in tongues once. Did you? Huh. You know it's God. There's something about it. When you get off there and you start speaking in the Spirit, speaking by the Spirit, speaking in that heavenly language, there's something about building yourself up in the most holy faith. There's something about that. Through your Spirit, you gain salvation. That's the first step. Beloved, I wish, I desire, above all else, that you may prosper and be in health to the degree that your soul prospers.